To the Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm Robin.
I'm Doyle.
And I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wow! Hi. Allison's first Pledge of Allegiance on Worldwide Radio. America and around the world, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. The man William Jefferson Clinton named in a White House memo is the most dangerous radio host in America. And if you've been listening, you know why. This world is In the age of deception, truth is the most dangerous weapon upon the face of this earth. Nothing can stand before it. Coming up in the month of November, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be one of the most spectacular meteor showers in a long time. They say the best place to watch it is Asia, Far East. And that may be true, but this particular meteor shower, called the Leonids, is going to be so spectacular that you're going to enjoy it and be able to see it. Doesn't matter where you're at. November 17th and 18th. November 17th and 18th, I would start watching, if I were you, the night of November the 16th, and through the night of the 19th. Because meteor showers aren't always on schedule, you know. And neither is the Earth always on schedule either, although it is on schedule. And really, so are the meteors. It's usually us that are off. And so they say 17th and 18th, I would start watching on the 16th if I were you, and I will be doing that, through the night of the 19th. And I think we're going to see a spectacular display in the sky. And make sure, ladies and gentlemen, now, if you don't want to go off the deep end, you don't want to be listening to Art Bell on those nights. Because he's going to stir up the mass hysteria, and there will probably be another alien invasion. But it's okay. You know, we're not criticizing Art Bell anymore, because he said his show is just for fun, just for entertainment. None of it is serious. He told everybody to lighten up and just enjoy it as entertainment. Well, we knew that all along, you know. But apparently, a lot of his audience didn't. There's some people really broken up about that.
Yeah, seem to be.
I mean, really crying big, huge alligator tears to find out that what they were taking to be so serious turned out to be just entertainment. And wow, you know, Russia said the same thing over and over and over again. So you can't fault Russia either. Can't fault anybody when they tell you the truth. The only ones you can fault are the ones listening who take it for reality at that point. You can fault the ditto heads, oh yes. And the woo-woo Looney Tune looking for the aliens to save them, people. Yes, you can fault them too. Wow. I got to get rid of this.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, because it's distracting. You're listening, ladies and gentlemen, to The Planet. Bet you didn't know The Planet had a voice, did you?
Really?
Well, it does. WBCQ. That's William Bill Cooper's Quorum. I want to thank Al Wiener for dedicating the whole shortwave station to me. Just joking, Al, but I couldn't help it. I was sitting around trying to figure out how to make something that would promote the show out of the letters WBCQ. And by golly, it could be Worldwide Bill Cooper's Quorum, or it could be William Bill Cooper's Quorum, or it could be a lot of things. I mean, we could really play with this and do a lot of things with it, and not just, you know, using my name, but a lot of things. And I think that we're going to sit down and come up with something really neat that we're going to use in our promos for the Hour of the Time, and for WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA, on High Street. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any topic for the broadcast tonight, and we don't have anything new to tell you. Actually, there's all kinds of new stuff that we could tell you. There are tremendous news items and all kinds of things like that. But we didn't prepare, and I'm going to tell you why. Doyle's been at work all day, and I've been at work all day, and not preparing for the broadcast. I have been, it took me 2 whole days, ladies and gentlemen, to get the new modem. Actually, 2.5, because I got here yesterday around noon sometime. And I have been working with that modem and the attending software ever since, and just about an hour ago, got it all working.
And you'll be well worth it now.
Oh, yes. We now have a good voicemail system, and we can receive faxes. While we're on the air, it will be disconnected so that we can use that line as the call-in line. When we're not on the air, this enables you to call 24 hours a day if you want to. Whether we're here to answer the phone or not, you can leave your message. You can make your reports. You can make news reports directly to the mailbox for the CAGI News Service. You can leave messages for Veritas, if you're a Veritas subscriber or one of our reporters. If you are thinking about ordering some of our products and you need shipping charges, there is a mailbox for shipping charges. All you have to do is leave your name, phone number, and zip code, and the exact number of each item that you wish to order. And then call us back in 2 days between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m., and a real person will always answer the phone between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m., at least Sunday through Friday. Saturday is the real Sabbath, and we do not work on Saturday. You see, all of you who think that Sunday is the Sabbath, it's not. That was invented by the Pope. The real Sabbath is Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, and real Christians do not work on Saturday, not Sunday. So that may surprise some of you. It may not. I think most of this listening audience probably knows that already. But we will not answer the phone on Saturday. We do not work on Saturday. And that's, you know, that's just the way it is. And what else? Oh, it's got mailboxes for everybody. Just call in, and when the voicemail system answers, it'll direct you to wherever you want to go, and you just push the right button. And if you miss it the first time, the message will repeat itself, and you can put your message wherever it truthfully belongs. Mm-hmm. So that's that. We can also now receive faxes once again after a long hiatus on faxes. We've got a lot of old computers around here, folks, and outdated modems and all kinds of stuff, and it took a long time to save up for this particular modem, which is fast. Mm-hmm. Really neat. It's
nice.
Good.
It's nice.
And the voicemail system is nice. And Doyle hasn't heard it yet because he just got home about an hour ago and got himself a cup of coffee or something, tea maybe, and tea, and sat down and sort of let the day roll off of his shoulders before we began the broadcast. Mm-hmm. Well, what's going on around the world? Global economic collapse is raging. Alan Greenspan issued a severe warning today. A severe warning. For this man to say what he did means catastrophe is coming, just like I told you. And it is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It is coming fast. The stock market lost again today. It's going to lose again tomorrow. It's going to continue losing because the whole world is coming down around our ears economically. There is no escaping it. The banks in Japan have crashed. They don't have any money. And they're in deep trouble, so the Japanese government announced today that they're going to try to bail out their banks. But then you have the Japanese mentality, which may not allow them to accept that money from the government. And if they do, you're going to see a lot of Japanese executives committing suicide. Unfortunately, I wish they wouldn't, but that's their culture. All over the world, this is happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to catch Americans full force because they can't see past the end of the nose on their face. They don't listen to the foreign news. They don't even know what's going on unless Dan Rathenard or Ted Copulate or Brian Gumball or any of the communist news networks, Tom Brokaw, decide to give them a little hint or something. And you don't hear these major announcements like Alan Greenspan made today. We're in for deep, deep economic troubles. Now, you had better prepare. I don't care who you think you are or what kind of job you think you have or what. You had better make preparations because it's going to be really bad. And if you're in a major population center, it could be worse than your worst dreams. Those of you living in Los Angeles know exactly what I'm talking about. Unfortunate, but true. And, you know, you can surf the internet and find out all this stuff. If you're diligent and you stay away from the BS pages, and really seek out the truth, you can discover the truth. The internet is full of disinformation, lies, beliefs, all kinds of weird things. And you don't want to get caught up in that. So you must be, you know, diligent with your research when you're so-called surfing the net. For instance, everything that I've ever written or done is copyrighted, ladies and gentlemen. And nothing that I have ever written or done or copyrighted is allowed to be published by anybody else anywhere under any circumstances. Anything that you see on the internet or on any bulletin board system or anything else that has my name attached to it is a forgery, is a lie, is a complete fabrication. And if you find any place like that, please send me an email message or write me a letter or give me a telephone call so that I can take the proper steps to have the guilty parties severely dealt with. In fact, the laws concerning copyright in the internet now are so severe that if they have posted anything that I have actually written and copyrighted, they're in deep, deep trouble. If they have posted something that I did not write and put my name on it, then they're guilty of another kind of crime and can be severely dealt with and will be, by the way. So please, if you find these things, let me know so that I can take care of these wayward children and put them in their proper place. And take care of, otherwise take care of business. Well, we have the Congress finally coming to grips with the problem with Mr. Clinton. And it is clear that there will be impeachment hearings. And it is also clear that it will not be restricted to anything, and that the investigation will be able to cover any avenue that they wish to investigate or any place that they wish to go with it. And it's also clear that William Jefferson Clinton is not long for the presidency. He will either resign, he will be impeached, or he will be assassinated. I hope it's not the latter. But knowing this country as I do, and knowing his enemies as I do, and folks, they're not who you think they are. They're not American patriots or militiamen. No, sir. William Jefferson Clinton has made some very powerful enemies in this world, and that is the source of his problem. That is the source of his problem. And those powerful, very, very wealthy, very influential people will deal with Mr. Clinton. They are doing that now. And at the same time, they have mounted a full frontal attack upon the office of the presidency, not just Clinton, to discredit our form of government. Remember, the New World Order does not want constitutional Republican governments anywhere. They want us to switch to a parliamentary form of government. and convert to a democracy, much like the socialism that pervades in England and other places in the world. That's what this is really all about. Don't get confused. Don't go off chasing rainbows. And that's what Mr. Perot is all about. He is formulating and convincing you that you are the ones who are going to decide what happens to Mr. Clinton through petition drives all over the country and great truck convoys carrying these huge boxes of millions of petitions to Washington, D.C. Tain't so. The procedure for dealing with this kind of thing is outlined in the Constitution for the United States of America. This is not, was not, will never be, cannot be, if we are truly vigilant and truly care, a socialist democracy. That's what democracy means. It means socialism. The two words are interchangeable in any situation that they may be used. So, for the next 2.5 hours, I guess, we're going to open the phones and let you have at it, because Doyle and I have been working all day, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I don't care what it is. And we can do this for the rest of the evening. And, you know, just see where it goes. If it goes anywhere. It may not go anywhere. Who knows? So the phones are open at 520-333-4578. It's 520-333-4578. By the way, that's the that's now the fax number and the voicemail system number when we're not on the air. When we are on the air, that's always going to be our call-in number. And so you can, you know, you can play with that for just a little while we listen to some great music.
When you got to ride upon the skyline, it is what's proud nation. This is the growing arms of population. By the greedy hands of politics and half truths. The future generation, the future generation, reared our diets of prejudice and misinformation. The future generation, the future generation, open your eyes, open your imagination. Things about a gasoline fuse and hypnotized by the satellites into believing what is good and what is right. You may be working from the temple of man or lost from the prison of religion, but you still walk back the house when you know where left to run. The beaten generation.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. The phones are open at 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578, and they'll be open for the rest of the evening. Anybody got a good UFO story?
The beaten generation, reared on a diet of prejudice.
That's a great ending, isn't it? Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, I was wondering if you could tell me what happened to Kurt Sachs, and I haven't heard him for quite a while now.
I have no idea.
He was on a shortwave, he was from Arkansas, he was known as the first survivalist, I think he coined the term.
He's also known as the first BS artist. No, he's a member of the Mysteries. Didn't you ever look at the name of his company? Atlan.
What is it?
Atlan.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, I never dealt with him. I just listened to him.
Yeah, he's flashing the symbolism in your face all the time, and nobody ever saw it. He also told you not to put any validity in the militias or the our patriots, but just... he wanted you to buy stuff from him and buy his books and all that kind of stuff just to survive. Let me ask you something. What's the point of surviving just to be the slave of whoever won the war?
Right.
You got to choose a side and you got to fight. But he was telling you, no, don't do that. Don't join the fight. Just get all the stuff and go hide in the woods and wait till it's all over and you'll be the survivor. Yeah, you'll also be the new slave if the wrong side wins.
Now, when you say the Mysteries, did you figure, is it the Masonic thing or what?
They're all the same. Pick any fraternal order you want to pick, and they're all the same behind the doors at midnight.
I thought he was an individualist. See, that's what I thought, you know.
Well?
There's something more sinister about it.
Read my lips. This is the age of deception. Read Hegel, read Kant, read Marx, read Lenin, and then understand that a lot of these people out there whom you think are your friends are not your friends at all. They are performing the Hegelian opposition to the controlled conflict and through these machinations they can usually ensure the outcome. I have no idea.
I thought maybe they locked him up or something, you know.
No, they're not going to lock him up. He's one of them.
Okay. Well, hey, that's something I'm going to have to ponder here. This is something else here.
No. It's not just him. You got to get your head out of the shell and start looking around. You got to do some studying. The days have gone by that you can exist with just whatever you learned in school. You need to get yourself in the books. See, they don't teach what you should know anymore. They used to teach all of these. They used to teach philosophy, even in high school.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, not anymore.
Well, this is interesting. It's something I'm going to have to really think about. I didn't agree with a lot of things that he proposed. But I think he was kind of a godless guy himself.
Yeah, you darn right he was. Mysteries don't believe in God. If their concept of God is that God is evil. The God imprisoned Adam and Eve in the bonds, the chains of ignorance in the Garden of Eden. And it was Lucifer, through his agent Satan, who gave mankind the promise that they, through the use of the knowledge of good and evil, that they got through the gift of primordial knowing, intelligence, fire, the gift Prometheus gave, remember, that they would themselves become gods. Anybody who believes that believes in the Luciferian philosophy. They are following Satan.
He can be his god. Yeah.
You know? But you also have to understand that none of this really has anything to do with devils or gods. With them. They don't believe in it. These are metaphors for much deeper philosophies.
This is the light they're looking for. Huh?
Well, they're looking for intelligence. They're looking to conquer nature, conquer the universe, conquer genetics, be able to live forever and become gods. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, this is amazing. I mean, I never would have considered it. Like I say, I didn't agree with everything you said or did. But, you know, when you get the figures on how many were on welfare and how many were on government pensions, and then there's, you know, there could be a calling, and I thought, well, hey, maybe the guy had some validity to it.
You need to talk a lot louder, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought there was might be some validity to some things he said.
There may be. You can't catch flies unless you got some honey in the jar.
Exactly.
But the flies aren't looking for the lid to come clamping down, you see.
I understand. Well, it's amazing. Thanks a lot, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Oh, yes. And the man who called the other night, was it Monday? Was it this Monday that he called? Mr. What's his name? About the story about the cemeteries or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. You're on the air. He's also a member of the ministry.
Hi, Bill. Yeah. Did you catch Frontline last night with Bill Moyers?
How could I? I was on the air.
Well, I think a bit after you or whatever, I just had somebody tape it, but it was an interesting expose of how both parties use bagmen to distribute influence according to what you bought.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, and whoever gives money, they're all promised that they're going to get their way, but everybody who's promised they're going to get their way oppose each other in the political spectrum, and it's absolutely impossible. It's so corrupt, it's almost unbelievable that they get away with this every year.
Well, I've come to the conclusion that, yes, there is a democracy, and here's how it works. If you are a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, you are part of the democracy. You actually have an input. If you're a member of the Trilateral Commission, you are also a member of a democracy. You have an input.
Well, this is called oligarchical government.
Absolutely. It's obviously, if you can lay about $100,000 in the...
Democracies always fall into oligarchies and then dictatorship. Always.
Right. Historically, that's always been the pattern. I think that probably democracy theoretically is possible. It's a question of scale.
It's a question of what?
Of scale. If you had it on a much smaller basis, something the size of the U.S. cannot be governed as a democracy. Never has been.
No, nothing can be governed as a democracy unless you're willing to sacrifice the minority voice or the minority race or the minority sex or the minority business as the majority votes them out of the picture or decides to eradicate them or kill them or imprison them or whatever they decide to do.
In which case, you're speaking of a government where a particular faction is taken over by force and continues by force.
Well, that's the ultimate end run of democracy. That's what always happens.
It just seems like if you were really to have a democracy, it would be synonymous with a plebiscite. In other words, for instance, nobody got to vote on Harry Truman's 1948 executive order that integrated the armed forces. Had the American public been able to vote in 1913 on the Federal Reserve, I'm sure that would have been defeated.
Uh-huh.
You know, as long as you have representatives who are free to vote as they wish, whether it reflects the views of their constituents or not, you are going to have paid for government.
No, not necessarily.
All right.
You see, when this country was founded, that could not have been the case. It was an agricultural society.
Uh-huh.
Nobody could afford to leave their home and stay in Washington, D.C. and become a professional politician. The thought never entered anyone's mind, or I'm sure the founders would have put safeguards in to prevent it from happening. So you had citizen statesmen who went for a short period of time, and then they had to go back home sooner or later, and they had to stay there, or their whole farm or estate or whatever it was that they had would just go to pieces. Yes, that's what it was set up to be. And the Senate was never supposed to be elected. The state legislatures appointed senators as statesmen to look out for the sovereignty of the individual state. The people then, to balance this out, elected a representative who sat in the House of Representatives to represent the interests of the people. And so you had the interests of the state represented in the Senate, the interests of the people represented in the House of representatives. You didn't have any professional politicians whatsoever. I mean, you know, look at these people. Look at Abraham Lincoln. He just marched out of the woods and got up on a platform and said a few words and was president. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You couldn't do that today. Nobody could do that today. The system is totally corrupt from the bottom down.
And driven entirely by money.
Yes.
Well, yeah,
and nobody gives a damn about right or wrong or the interest of the state or the interest of the people or being a statesman. They don't care about it.
Well, you know, another thing you've mentioned about the cryptocracies, what I call cryptocracies, for quite some time, and you're writing about them as superb. I've got some of your tapes, too. The idea that there are these secret societies behind everything. I was just curious, your work is so parallel to that of Dr. John Coleman. Have you ever interviewed him or spoken with him about that? You know, the guy who wrote The Committee of 300?
I don't know if I've ever met him. I've met so many people over the years, and especially at some of these conferences and expos and things that I've been to. And it's always when there's a whole press of people around me, and unless I see these people over and over again, I don't tend to remember things like that. I remember faces always, but not necessarily.
Right, the same conclusions. He actually identified who the factions were, like the Sanford Research Institute, Tavistock Institute, and so on. The policy-making bodies of this Committee of 300, this octopus that kind of controls the world right now.
Sure. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say it's a Committee of 300. In my research, I've discovered it's a consensus of opinion brought about by insiders at the core of many groups who influence the thinking of others through memberships and personal
contacts.
Yes.
That's pretty much what his conclusion is. It's just that he kind of identifies who the folks are that are in that. You know, I just wanted to mention something to you, Bill. You may already be into it because I know you're in the web and all that. Have you ever seen this Brother Blue website? They have a lot of excellent exposés about the cryptocracy.
Brother Blue?
Seriously, I know it's a weird name, and it has this picture of this alien zapping information into somebody through their eyes. It has a lot of funny stuff that's like a really humorous takeoff on how stupid-sounding a lot of these secret societies are with their codes and initiations. It's all pseudo-Semitic anyway. You know, the whole structure of masonry depends upon ancient Semitic symbols and so on.
Well, it comes directly. It doesn't depend on those. It is those. It is nothing more than an extension of the ancient mystery schools.
Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, etc.
Mesopotamia, all of them, yes.
Yeah, right, which evolved throughout. But
they never died. They've lived through the ages, and they have just come together at the highest level to accomplish a particular agenda.
Well, they have this one website where they identify the specific hustles that these folks are up to. For instance, you've heard of this Maitreya thing?
Yeah, what a joke.
Maitreya.
Benjamin Krim.
they have about a 4-page expose on Maitreya, and they call it custodial metaprogramming at its finest.
In fact, I wrote about Maitreya in my book, I believe.
They have several, you know, they actually identify these various phony prophets that are being dug up. Yeah.
Really?
That's what I passed on for. It's a real pleasure to hear from you.
Have they got Brother Stare in there?
Yeah, they do, as a matter of fact.
Figured they would.
Brother Whitley, they identify all these folks. They call them Streber, you know, and so on.
Yeah. They all have the right to say what they want, as long as they don't hurt the person or property of any other human being, but anybody.
I think they're exposés are right on the money, although I'm surprised somebody as powerful as Benjamin Cream doesn't sue them for what they said about him and his tie-in with the cryptocracies.
Why? What can he sue them about?
That's a good point. Yeah, no damage is done, really.
No, and it's true.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. Well, listen, thanks. Enjoy hearing
it. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Good night.
520-333-4578. Yes. Maitreya. Maitreya, indeed.
Objector calling line.
I dropped Maitreya the other night when I was... Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Bill. This is Tom from Ohio.
Hi, Tom.
Basically, I heard you mention something about a caller you had on Monday. I think you were... talking about the man who closed out the show, and you were talking about masonry, and you were going through some of the things that he had.
Yeah, I know exactly who he is. He used to call the show before.
Yeah.
And he called once the week before, not the first week we were on, but the second week, and talked about swans on a little pond in Cleveland, remember? And that's where he was from.
Yes.
And then on Monday he was from...
He is a Clevelander, and he said that his name was Lou from Kentucky.
Yeah, no, he said he was Lou from Louisville. Well, I knew that he wasn't. That's why I said Kentucky, and he sort of dodged that.
Yeah.
And then he claimed that he was not a member of the Mysteries, and he is. He lied. He goes on the Internet by the name of Malleus Maleficorum. He is a bold-faced liar.
Oh, really?
He always, he always has been. Well, of course.
He has a lot of local radio shows, and he passes himself off as a Bible-thumping Christian on the radio.
But he's not.
All the time.
He's not. His goal, actually, if you listen to him, he tends to try to destroy Christianity while pretending to be one, and he always tries to heap compliments on whoever he's talking to so that they feel flattered and let him go on. And then he promotes and defends and elevates the Lucifer worshipers in the Mysteries.
But that was the first time I ever really heard him go off on a tangent like that about Masonry. I've heard him pose questions to this one local radio preacher we have here, who's tends to fly the anti-Masonic banner, but he is a Southern Baptist, so they could be playing good cop, bad cop.
Well, they could be. Southern Baptist Church has been taken over by Freemasonry. It is run by Freemasonry. It is no longer a Christian church. Anyone who belongs to the Southern Baptist Church and thinks they're going to a Christian church, they are involved in a church run by Luciferians. Now, if they want to do that and they have knowledge that that's what it is and they're not hurting anybody or anybody's property, I don't care. But it's the deception and the manipulation that I particularly do not like, because that does hurt people.
That it was never apparent to me what this guy was about, but, he has a very distinctive voice, and he goes by the name of Joe.
Well, on the Internet, you'll find that he goes by the name of Malleus, or Malleus Maleficorum, which literally means the hammer of evil.
Yes. Yes, I remember seeing that on the Voices site when it was still up.
He's been kicked out of my mailing list. He's been kicked off of our forum on the Internet. He has been... kicked off the radio. And I just wanted to trap him. So I let him on the first time he was on. I recognized his voice. He has a very distinctive voice, and he always goes about the same thing, and he always tries to heap compliments on me or whoever he's talking to. And so I let him go on, and you all heard him say that he was whatever he said his name was, from Cleveland. And we have it on tape, by the way. And then last Monday, I believe it was, he said that that he was Lou from Louisville, and he also said that he was a Christian. He is not a Christian. He is a flaming Luciferian from deep behind the veil.
Yes, and he really spoke him out on Monday night. I was rather impressed, because he didn't want to let it drop.
No, he didn't want to, but I have a way about me,
Yes, you do, and your show is great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Tom.
Yes. 520-333-4578. I've studied these people for so long, where they can pull their little shenanigans and tell their lies and get over on most people, because most people are ignorant about the truth about the Mysteries and the symbology of the Mysteries. They can't do that with me. And every time that they've ever tried, they have ended up eating it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, I just, in the interest of not violating your sensibilities, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, listen, I caught you at the beginning of your show tonight and had to walk away from the radio for a little while. I didn't know if anyone had called in and talked about the meteor shower at all.
No, I talked about it a little bit, but go ahead. I didn't cover much about it.
Well, I didn't know. Are you an avid astronomer?
We're amateur astronomers here. We have a beautiful, wonderful telescope here that we purchased for Pooh's education.
Yeah.
It's owned by the Trust, and it is an educational tool for the girls. And so we subscribe to Sky and Telescope and Astronomy Magazine, and we use the telescope, and we are amateurs, but we know a few things.
Quite frankly, I don't have a telescope. What I use is a pair of 7x50 binoculars.
Well, that'll work too if you can hold them still enough.
Well,
put them on a tripod.
And, of course, I got about a 7-degree field of view, so you can cut a lot of sky with those, you know?
Uh-huh.
It was really neat looking at the moon and all that. But what I wanted to talk to you about, there was this meteor shower, the Leonids that you were talking about.
Yes, coming in November.
Yeah, it actually, the peak for it is actually every 33 years.
That's correct.
And technically that would be next year, although they're recommending watching it this year, next year, and the year after.
Well, they had originally anticipated that the maximum effect of the showers would be here in 1999, but
right.
They now believe that it will happen on the 17th and 18th of November.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it, because, you know, back in 1966, your regular everyday meteor showers, you know, you generally get somewhere on the order of about 20 an hour or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But it was reported back in 1966 when this thing plowed through here for the 33-year peak. They had 144,000 every hour.
Oh, yeah, thousands an hour. And that's what we could be seeing this year, thousands an hour.
Well, listen, there's another one coming up. Actually, it's tomorrow night.
We just missed one in September. Art Bell's listeners caught it. It was an alien invasion, according to them.
Hey, look, seriously, though, there's another meteor shower happening tomorrow night, which actually only happens once every 6 years.
I was hoping nobody would say anything about that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was going to, you know, listen to Art Bell when he gets back from vacation and see where that goes with the mass hysteria crowd. Well, you already did, so you might as well go ahead.
Yeah, it's a meteor shower called, it's got two names, actually. It's either called the Draconids or the Geopocinids. And it's supposed to put on a pretty fantastic display if you can get a clear sky to watch it. So. But
you may talk.
Yeah, I'll say, by the way, I didn't tell you I was still in North Carolina. I called you the other day and talked to you privately.
Uh-huh.
And just wanted to say I listen to your show every night, and I learned about you from a guy named Mike down here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and we're very very interested in what you have to say. And I've turned on at least three people that I know are going to be tuning into you here very shortly if they haven't already. So.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, you know, I'm trying to get listenership up because, boy, I tell you, I take this thing every night, and I don't miss a beat on it. It's a great show.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'll turn you loose, and I appreciate all your efforts.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you take care.
Thanks.
520-333-4578. When did Pooh drill this? Oh, this is the one she did the other day.
Uh-huh.
Ah, another Pooh masterpiece.
Yep. The house.
Too bad from Pooh. The house, yes. Well, you know, I guess we better... Well, we can't. We'll be doing a show tomorrow. Maybe we can take the microphone out the door. We have a long cord, you know. Very long cord.
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere.
No,
it's right here. I was looking for the cord. It's right in front of me. It's wrapped around the microphone. We can take the microphone outside and see, you know, just what kind of a meteor shower it is, and we can report it.
That'd be cool.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, ma'am.
And Doyle. That's the gentleman's name.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Pardon me?
What's going on?
Yes. I want to say how sweet your little daughter is.
Well, thank you.
You know, with I heard her play the harmonica and her little pledge to the flag, which I think is very sweet.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about little children, how sweet and innocent they are until they get into this evil world. You know, what a shame it is. What I wanted to say is, why is Perot being brought into the picture again as a dark horse? What is the object of the insiders to bring him in again?
To create the belief in the American people that this is a democracy. That's what this whole petition drive about. It's a democracy and the people should decide.
Uh-huh.
It's not true. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land and lays out the exact procedure that must be followed.
Well,
the people...
rumor is that he and Hillary are both on the board of Walmart. Is that correct? That he has stock in there and she's on the board. Is that correct?
I have no idea. I really don't know.
Also, you know, I have your book, which I read quite often because you can't read it enough. You must, you know, there's things that you miss. And I have here in your Appendix F on page 3, U.S. government drug involvement.
Uh-huh.
Of course, this is Nord Davis.
Yeah.
You know, his articles that you put in there.
That's correct.
I always subscribed to Norah Davis, and I always felt he was a great patriot, and I really feel bad, you know, of his horrible death. And I believe that his articles, myself, I thought he was one of the most truthful men. But do you agree?
No.
Oh.
No, some of the things that he did were truthful and were right to the point, but served a particular agenda. Even what I put in my book that he wrote. Norah Davis was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction. He's one of the thousand points of light helping bring about the New World Order. And some of the things that he published and said specifically, I can tell you one right off the bat, was during the build-up for the Gulf War.
Uh-huh.
He claimed that he had gone to the Middle East
and had
delivered messages directly to Saddam Hussein, and that's why Saddam Hussein did not attack our forces. That's a bald-faced lie.
Uh-huh. I've come to the conclusion that I'm very upset because I've been trying to follow the truth for about 10 years, and it disturbs me that you cannot trust anyone.
Well, you have to understand, ma'am, that this is the age of deception.
Uh-huh.
It really and truly is. And my message from the very first broadcast I ever did on May the 4th, 1992, was don't believe what anybody's telling you. Don't believe anything that you read unless you do the research and find out what is true and what is not true. And you can't do it by going to a book and reading the book. You must read a whole bunch of books by a whole bunch of different authors who have uncovered facts that you can verify. And you can find out whether or not it's the truth.
Well, that's what I've been doing. I must spend thousands of dollars trying to find the truth. And I don't circle on just one. And I just keep reading and reading, but even in my area where I live in New Jersey, it's horrible. And I see with my own eyes what's going on in our school system, in our churches, and especially we're surrounded by casinos now in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's I won't even go into that, but I was quite taken back last night with that phone call from that gentleman over an hour. Of his involvement, he says, with the...
I believe that he was telling us the truth.
Oh, dear, it was quite... I mean, I was shaken and taken back. I just... So was I. All right, sir, I just want to say how sweet your little girl is, and I think that everyone should think about their little children and their little grandchildren and you know, try to think of their future. And that's what I think about when I hear your little daughter say the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And who thank you? 520-333-4578. Yes, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, is to give my children a future of freedom, and being able to think whatever they want to think and read whatever they want to read and say whatever they want to say without fear and walk down the street. Without fear. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
You need to put your mouth in front of your phone and talk real loud, and if you're on a Rome phone, you need to get off it.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Just barely. Are you on a Rome phone?
No.
Something's wrong here, because, talk real loud, and we'll see what we can do.
All right. I have a question for you that I've always been wondering about, and I hope you can answer it.
Okay. Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Now, could you tell me to what degree the Western powers or the Masonic powers had control over Soviet Union down through their history from the beginning up until the present?
Well, the Southern Jurisdiction, the Scottish Rite, claims that their charter to exist comes from Frederick the Great of Russia. I have no idea. That's their claim, though.
All right. So what do you make of the second Russian Revolution back at the 1990 time?
There was no second Russian Revolution. Read Anatoly Golitsyn. Read Mikhail Gorbachev's Perestroika. Read New Lies for Old. Read the Perestroika Deception. I knew that this was going to happen many years before it did, and that's why I was able to accurately predict the fall of the Iron Curtain, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and the opening up and democratization of what used to be the Soviet bloc countries. It's a deception to disarm the West.
I've read both of his books. A question that comes to me is, why is it that our leadership and our press have never pointed this out? Why are they going along with the deception?
Well, the press is controlled by socialists. The press is a socialist arm. That you can call it a fifth column if you want. And the government, the good people in our government were dissuaded from believing Anatoly Golitsyn when he defected in 1961 in December and told us what the long-range plan of the Soviet Union was to pretend a fall and then pretend to democratize in order to deceive and disarm the West and then bring together the world in a totalitarian socialist government, which would then fall back into communism. The man in charge of counterintelligence for the Central Intelligence Agency, and this was when I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence, so I'm very familiar with all of this. There were those in the intelligence circles who debated this, and we debated whether or not Anatoly Golitsyn was telling us the truth or whether he was trying to lure us into a deception. And I and many others believed that he was telling the truth, and it turned out that he was exactly telling the truth. And his big detractor, the man who talked the leadership of the government and the intelligence community into not believing him, was James Jesus Angleton, who was in charge of counterintelligence for the Central Intelligence Agency. Angleton always pretended to be trying to ferret out a high-level Soviet mole in our intelligence community. And it turns out that that high-level Soviet mole was James Jesus Angleton himself.
That's interesting. Now, you've stated that the Scottish Rite has always claimed to be in control of this revolution.
No, I've never said that.
What did you state at the beginning of our conversation?
What did you ask me? You asked me where they got, how they were influenced or had influence in Russia.
Okay.
And I told you, they claim that their charter to exist as a lodge, as an organization, came from Frederick the Great of Russia. That's what I told you.
Do you accept this claim?
It doesn't matter whether I accept it. That's what they put forth. They do have power in Russia. They always have had power in Russia, despite Stalin's ban against Masonic lodges. See, all revolutions come out of secret society lodges. Every one of them have always done that throughout history. So when the new dictator gets on the throne, because he was part of it and knows where it came from, he turns around to ensure his own safety and outlaws them. So they just go underground. They still exist. I believe the Russian people are just like us. They're not any danger to anybody. But I believe that the Russian leadership, yes, very certainly, are extremely dangerous to anyone who has any concept or belief in our following of our acceptance or our free lifestyle or wants to be free. Yes, absolutely. You better believe it. Oh, come on. All throughout history, the intelligentsia and the secret societies and all of these little ignorant people who run around and further the goals of the revolution always are the first ones that are eliminated, and they never learn from history. They do it all over again the next time.
So you're saying they're miscalculating once again?
They didn't miscalculate. They're fools. They've never looked back at history to see what happens. They think that they're going to be in charge. And they're not. They're going to be eliminated just like last time. They always are. What do you think Castro did the first thing when he came to power?
Right.
He sent Che Guevara out of the country so he could not be a threat to his leadership to instigate revolutions in other countries. And Che was not supposed to come back into Cuba for very long, too often, and he didn't. And he got rid of all of his other lieutenants and helpers and everybody. They just disappeared.
In your estimation,
same thing Stalin did. Same thing Lenin did. They all do it all the time. And these stupid people who call themselves intelligentsia are always the first to go.
So in your estimation, would the greatest threat be the Masonic leadership?
No. You're concentrating too much on one organization. The Masonic Lodge is a threat, yes, but it's not just the Masonic Lodge. It's the Rose and Cross, the Rosicrucians, the Masonic Lodge, the Golden Dawn, the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar. They're all involved in this subversion at the highest levels. Down at the lowest levels, they're just a bunch of materialistic fools to join the lodge to try to get an edge on business in their town and win court battles against people who aren't Freemasons if there's a Freemason judge sitting on the bench. They don't know dip about anything.
So what I'm trying to get at is, if Russia should ever decide to attack the West, do you believe it would be on their own accord or in conjunction with the traitors in our own country?
Of course it would be in conjunction with the traitors in our own country. There's a third column working underground in this country to bring this country to its knees, to destroy it from within. Our enemy has never been without this country. It's always been within.
I find it incredulous that these people believe that they can permit a power like that to take over country and escape any retribution.
That's exactly what they believe. Well, I've tried to. I don't know if I've answered them thoroughly to your satisfaction, but I've tried.
Oh, fairly to my satisfaction. If I have any more questions, I'll be calling you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, folks, the danger is from within. Remember all the years they were telling us Communist China is going to come and take over the United States? Communist China doesn't have enough boats to take over Japan. They could never get here. They just can't get here.
Yeah.
Neither can Russia. The days of huge navies and flotillas and landings at Dunkirk and landings at Incheon and Normandy are over. The state of technology is such right now, ladies and gentlemen, that you can detect an invasion fleet the minute it sets sail. And you can destroy it at sea before it even begins to even represent any kind of danger to you, or to us, or to anybody else. You see, that's why the United States really does not any longer have a real amphibious force. Our military commanders, our admirals and generals know that. They know it. This is a different time in history, ladies and gentlemen. All the time that I was serving aboard the USS Oriskany, which is an attack aircraft carrier, I fully understood that if there were really a war, everybody on that aircraft carrier had about 10 minutes to live. That's it. And that's the truth. Good evening, you're on the air. Hi, Richard. How are you?
It's fine. Could you tell me about the food shortage we're having? Is that pretty true?
What food shortage?
In the United States.
There's no food shortage.
There ain't no food shortage?
No. Did you go to Safeway and find any bear shells?
Not yet. I think shortages are like the Kangas ain't as thick as it used to be like 2 years ago.
Well, when you go to Safeway and you find the shelves are empty, you know there's a food shortage. But if you're waiting until the food shortage happens to stock up on some food storage, then what do you even care?
Well,
if you wait till it happens to stock up on food storage, you're not going to have any food storage, and you're not going to have any food.
Okay. Could you repeat what you said about Greenspan? Because I'm taping it for a person at work. Don't believe what's going on. Better economy.
Well, it's in the news. I mean, he did it today.
I know. And you brought it out. You're the only one who brought it out.
Well, unfortunately, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Greenspan said that the global economic collapse is not a myth. It is a real crisis, and America is not going to escape the bad effects of this worldwide collapse. Now, coming from Alan Greenspan, that's about the worst thing that you could possibly ever hear from a man who is so careful about what he says, because it can affect stock markets everywhere. What he said is we're up to our neck in deep, deep trouble, and it's all coming down, just like I've been telling you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Yeah, find it, folks. He said it. I mean, they're trying to suppress it, but it's there for those who want to look. I mean, I found it. You can find it. I spend hours every day. Hours. I get intelligence reports from South Africa, from North Africa, from the Far East, from Russia, from the so-called European Union, from England, from Switzerland, from South America, from Mexico, from Japan, from everywhere. I spend hours each day poring over all of this stuff so that the militia, of which I am a part, will have good forewarning, good intelligence, and we'll be able to fulfill our purpose. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, still there, please.
I'm right here. Can you speak a lot louder?
I'm sorry. This is John from Virginia. How are you?
Fine. Listen, John, just hold on just a minute while I tell everybody in the listening audience.
Sure.
I say this every night, every time somebody calls. Now, I want all of you to listen to me. Write it down on a piece of paper if you can't remember, and paste it on your nose. When you call any radio station, put the receiver in front of your mouth, talk loud, turn off your radio. Every time. Otherwise, we waste a lot of airtime saying that, and it just, you know, lately it's been every single caller. So don't feel like I'm picking on you.
Oh, no, sir. I understand.
Okay.
I just had a question in regards to RG's there.
Yes. You're falling down again. Please keep the talking level up.
He has interesting people on his shows, like the interviews he's had with Dr. John Coleman and different other people.
Oh, yeah, he's interviewed me on his show.
Yeah, I remember him mentioning you before, years ago. I was just wondering what your outlook on his ministry or...
He has a right to have his ministry and say whatever he wants to say. Well, now, why are you asking me that? How many prophecies has he made? He claims to be the last day prophet of God. How many prophecies has he made?
None that I know of.
None that you know of? I've heard him make at least 500 over the years.
That have come true?
None. None. How can he be the last day prophet of God? I mean, why do I have to tell you that? You're listening to his show. And you have a right to listen to his show if you want. But why do you have to ask me? That's what I don't understand. I'm not the only one who can think and put two and two together.
I know. I just value your opinion on things. I just wanted to get your outlook on whether or not, you know...
The most important opinion in the world is yours.
That's true.
You have to learn to make these evaluations yourself. All you have to do is listen and watch. Listen to what they say. Watch what they do. If somebody makes prophecies, listen to the prophecies and see if they come true.
I'm glad you're back on the air.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll be trying to order some things from you and hope to hear you for many years to come.
Well, I hope you can too, because if you don't, it's not going to bode well for me, I can assure you.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, they have tried, ladies and gentlemen, to do away with me. They shot me in the chest with something that gave me a really bad, fast-acting cancerous tumor, which, thanks to Michael Cottingham and Gene Kimline and several other people who are good friends whom I know who have been studying these things for years. They gave me, you wouldn't believe how many pills and how many potions and how many cups of tea I was drinking every single day until just the thought of it made me sick. And I kept doing it, and it kept getting bigger and bigger, and I thought, this is a waste of time, it's not working. And then, after about 3 months, it began to regress and shrink, and finally went away, and there's just a scar on my chest where it used to be. And when that didn't work, then they issued bogus warrants for the arrest of my wife and I in an attempt to shut us up, and you can see that it has not shut us up, will not shut us up. We will not shut up. And if they come up here and try to get us, there's going to be the biggest gun battle you've ever seen in your life, because we will defend ourselves against tyranny. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. I heard...
Can you please speak louder?
Good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you.
Last night, there was an advertisement in my Doyle about the people of Waco.
The videotape they made during the siege.
Yes.
Yes.
Could you extemporize on that, you know, just for a few minutes, to the people of what it contained?
It's over 2 hours long. It is the testimony of everyone who was in that building, including the children, including David Koresh. Every single one of them marched before the camera and told their story, showed their wounds, explained that they were not being held against their will, and it is, for all intents and purposes, their last will and testament. I believe that Doyle said that all of them are dead. One woman survived, a black woman from England, and she has since returned to England. That's what it is.
Yes, of course. I know that.
It's the story that they were never able to tell, that nobody would ever let them tell. They made the tape for the FBI to prove to them that no one was being held against their will. Not that I know of.
That's the question.
It's been floating underground. That's
yes.
It.
Why has it never been released? And that was the question. Why is...
We've released it. We're doing all we can to get it out.
I know that, Mrs. Cooper.
But I can't answer that question for anybody else. I don't... You got to ask the communist news networks why they don't show it on CNN. Because that's where it should be shown. I can't answer for CNN.
I can't answer for you. I'm just asking the rhetorical question.
Oh, well, I can give you a rhetorical answer, but I really can't speak for them. I can tell you that I don't believe that the powers that be want it known that those people were murdered and that they were just ordinary, decent people like all of the rest of us. It gives them a face and a personality. She's an appointed political puppet.
Yes.
She's the butcher. We call her the butcher of Waco around here.
Yes, of course.
She did it for the children.
Of course. That was a question. If you could extemporize, repeat it so that everybody would know. There is a history of them being murdered by whomever.
There's a history. There's always a history of people who refuse to kowtow and parrot the political correct thinking of any time in history being killed.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes, they were murdered, murdered, murdered. I could have strangled Janet Reno when she got in front of the TV cameras after they were all dead, burned to ashes, and she said she did it for the children. Where do these socialist scum get this emotional manipulation with the word children. All life is sacred, not just children. You kill an old woman who's 80 years old, it's no different than killing a child that's 1 year old. All life is sacred. All life did it for the children. There's people out there who sent me letters and emails saying, I should let my children go because there's warrants issued for our arrest, and if they come up here, our children are going to get killed. Ladies and gentlemen, our children belong to us. We love them. They are in no danger with us. You're talking to the wrong person. If they're killed, they will be killed by the FBI or the Internal Revenue Service or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, teenage, jackbooted, ninja-turtled Nazi thugs. Not by us. They're with us for the same reason that the pioneers took their children with them in the wagons across this country when they settled the West, knowing full well that they could all die of lack of food and thirst, that they could all be killed by Indians, they called them wild Indians at that time, or by outlaws. And you remember back then they used to save a bullet for the women and children in case they were overrun so they wouldn't be captured and tortured. Our children are here for the same reason. They belong here. They belong here. Many of you ever considered what would happen to them if they weren't here? They would be kidnapped by the federal government. They would be subjected to months and years of psychiatric counseling to rid them of the truth that we have taught them, to rid them of the concepts of freedom and things like the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and the principles and ideals that founded this country are the greatest ones that have ever been conceived by the minds of men. And they would be placed in foster homes where they would be abused and sexually molested until they either ran away or reached an age where they could leave and go out on their own. And they would be kept track of for their entire life to see if they were going to become underground patriot leaders like their mother and their father. And if they did, well, you know the answer that follows that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Louise in Chicago. I think I can shed some light on this notion of protecting the children and why it's always the focus on children. And that is because childhood is temporary. If we can base all our values, if we can base all our freedom, our liberty, our sovereignty, and our country on something temporary, then we will only have it temporarily. That's the plan.
Well, that's a very good explanation. I've never heard that before.
Children grow up.
Yes, they do.
And they're no longer children.
Yes, and then apparently, according to these people, once they're no longer children, their lives are not of any value.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because as they grow up and they are no longer children, then anything, any premise that had any relationship to any kind of basis whatsoever for this entire notion also grows up. We grow into socialism. We grow into total tyranny. And we are no more children. Except for the way we're treated.
Uh-huh.
The way we're treated by our oppressors. Once we've acted like children by being stupid enough.
Yes, and
to go along with their plan.
In socialism, you're never anything other than a child.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and if you get out of hand, you will be spanked.
Oh, yeah.
You will be abused.
Yes.
And it's so sickening.
Yes, it is.
It's so sickening. Two-faced subversive doesn't even begin to describe it, really.
That's why I struggle for words sometimes when I do that, because I'm still searching for the perfect description, and I haven't found it yet.
Well, I've been getting into it. You may know who I am. I've been getting into it on the Internet.
Oh, okay.
I think you might know.
Yeah, I think maybe I do.
I think you do because, let's say, a lot of flack comes our way.
Yes.
And I know there are a bunch of children, and there are a bunch of poopy diapers, a whole lot of them.
Oh, yes, they are.
And
have you noticed that I haven't been in that forum for 3 days, and they're still fighting as if I'm there?
They think they chased you out.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, I posted a little message today just to let them know that they didn't.
Well, they want to feel big because, unfortunately, it's once again about repeating the lie. They've been effectively convinced that they are children and they behave like it.
Yes, they do.
Well, I told one of them to just grow up. I mean, not that it's going to make much, it's not going to do much good to tell them that.
Oh, no.
Because they'll tell me to do the same thing and they'll say they're being threatened.
Don't worry about
it.
Don't worry about what they say. I never pay any attention to what they say.
I do that in case there's somebody out there listening. I do that in case somebody stops by to let them know that these people, they think they run everything. And the fact of the matter is that they don't mean anything. They're for being sheared, and when they cannot be sheared anymore, they're for being eaten, and that's their purpose. They have consented to that purpose.
Sure, they stand for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, but they cannot consent for me to that purpose, even though, well, that's their, you know, you might have seen one of my taglines now. I say, a democracy is only for Bolsheviks.
Yes, that's
true.
Let
them figure it out and see what that means.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely correct.
It is absolutely correct. Bolshevik literally means the...
Oh, are you going to tell them on the air?
No, I'm not going to tell them.
let them go to a dictionary. I know that's got big words in there for grown-ups, but...
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to...
No, I won't tell. I use them. I guess you've noticed that I use them. I let them get all lathered up and get into their mass hysteria, and then every time that they post anything that has my name in it or refers to me, it gives me a wonderful opportunity to advertise this broadcast.
Well, I'm doing that now. I put not the same message, but the time you're on and the station, the frequency.
And then that generates another 500 messages from them because they claim it's spam. But whenever they mention me or refer to me or libel me or slander me or use my name in any post, I can lawfully answer that post in any manner that I wish.
See,
and so I choose to advertise this broadcast.
They don't know what spam is.
They don't know what anything
is.
They don't know what life is.
They want to see spam. Maybe bullet-riddled bodies, decaying corpses in the streets, things like that will happen, but at least there's a chance to mitigate it by putting out what they call spam. They don't understand that.
No.
And they're just, when the time comes, and they're just going to be, ooh, ah, and,
Yeah.
They ain't going to know it. They're just going to be looking like, what happened?
Well,
but they don't even know what they're saying. They have no idea.
No, and it is their own philosophy that will bring that about.
They could only be like the gentleman that called last night and actually stopped to listen and use his brain that God gave every single one of us.
Yes.
But these people, they demand to remain blind, and they demand that nobody try to change that, or else you're threatening them.
Well,
that's the part that gets me, and it's getting this country, it's destroying this country.
For people who cannot think and want somebody to take care of them all the time, if you try to instigate a thought in their mind, it's painful to them. Literally painful.
Wasn't it for every single one of us when we woke up? Wasn't there that having to deal with looking at the person in the mirror and saying, there is the person that is playing a part in the destruction of this country?
That's right.
Very painful. Who wants to look at that? I mean, I can understand denial.
But that's what we all must do.
Absolutely. Because it's, you know, I mean, the alternative simply precludes any other intelligent choice, because there is no other intelligent choice. There's only stupid ones, and they insist on the stupid ones.
Yeah.
Repeating history again, because they didn't learn from it the first time, or the second time, or the last million times.
Oh, they march headlong into slavery, all the while yelling, freedom, freedom.
Yeah, and they want to grab a hold of all of us and pull us in, too. That's the dangerous part. Not too close to Chicago here, and it's getting me worried.
Well, you should get away from there, I'm telling you.
Yeah, what a car that just broke down. I don't know.
Everybody who...
I'm going to have to find something to do because this is getting worse every day.
When the buffalo chip...
You can just see it. You can just hear it in their rhetoric. I mean, the talking heads on the communist networks, the what I call the Ministry of Propaganda Control Media, they're out there and they're saying little things here and there. They're tipping their hand all the time.
Yes.
And it gets to be, you know, a little word here, a little word there, disaster, catastrophe, stuff like that. Not even Alan Green's scam, but other people, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, they know what's going on.
Yes, they do.
And maybe they're trying to keep it quiet, but it's probably thrown them for a loop, too, and a little bit slips out, you know, like when there's a horrible accident and, you know, the beans get spilled a little bit. People just don't listen. They want to go back and watch... They want life to be Sesame Street.
Well, they've been...
Which would be nice if it really was, but they insist on the rose-colored glasses and the blinders.
The people have been desensitized through television, Hollywood, and there have been too many disasters and too many catastrophes and too many of this and too many of that and too many wars and too many dead bodies trooped across the television set, both in movies and in the news, so that... It has become so commonplace that nobody pays any attention to anything anymore, and that's the exact purpose of it all. Did you hear what Disney's up to now?
No, not actually.
I think the whole listening audience should pay very close attention to this. The Disney Studios, headed by Michael Eisner, are petitioning and lobbying in Congress for exemption from the laws concerning pornography.
That's interesting.
Now, why would Disney be wanting to be exempt from the restrictions concerning pornography if they're not planning to keep that upon the children?
It's the next step.
Could be.
It's the next step. They're up for something, and it's the next step.
Yeah. Listen, I got to let you go because we got to get Doyle in here and let him do his commercials.
Okay. Take it easy, Bill, and God bless you.
God bless you, too, and thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yep, in about 2 minutes, we're going to have Doyle here do his, we didn't do it at 7 o'clock, did we? You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. Sorry, Alan.
Sorry, Alan.
We'll try to watch it. Well, I think, you know, if we miss it, they probably... stuck it in there somewhere, hopefully. We're going to let Doyle move in here and do the commercials. And we've got to tell you, folks, what are those two radios? This is not a commercial. This is an uncommercial.
There you go.
We just discovered, ladies and gentlemen, and we're very sorry about this, and if you have ordered one of them, we will send your money right back to you. That the SG-789A, the 10-band shortwave, and the ATS-303 don't even have, I mean, they have, like the 10-band shortwave, SG-789A has 10 shortwave bands, or 10 bands, I should say, and the ATS-303 has 13, but they do not cover the frequency that we're broadcasting on. And, of course, there's no way for us to know that until we actually checked it out. But the ATS-808 does. So, there you go. So, we are no longer offering those two lower priced radios. They are no longer offered on the hour of the time. We apologize. We're trying to get you something good for a reasonable price, and we screwed up. We do that from time to time.
Yeah, we do.
And whenever we do, we will make amends and apologize and make it right someday. So we're going to look for some other radios that are not quite as expensive to take their place if we can find them. And we're in the process of checking on the Panasonic to see if it does carry this frequency. And if it does, we will continue to offer it. Okay. Doyle, are you ready?
Yeah.
Here's Doyle. I'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Just a second here while we get some things going. Okay, 101.1 FM is off the air at this point right now, so we can do our business. All right, hope everybody's enjoying the show. Since we were on the subject of radios already, just cover the ATS 808 right now. This is a Sangene. Okay, yeah, just a second.